Is Penny dead? What about that magic box? And can we finally get the name of the final secret scene thingy? We'll have ponderings and possibly answers to all those questions and more in today's official Lost audio podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. We're here with executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse today to rehash whatever happened, and give you a few hints on our upcoming episode, Dead is Dead, which airs Wednesday, April 8th from 9 till 10:02 p.m. Note the 02. We'll, of course, also have fan questions and, as promised, the answer to our final secret scene thingy contest. Remember, you can always submit your questions, comments, and concerns at blogs.abc.com/asklost. Here now are Damon and Carlton.
Hello, Damon.
Hi, Carlton.
Welcome to another Lost podcast, Damon.
You're saying that to me?
Yes, I'm saying it to you. Welcome to you. So, Damon, let's just jump right in here. Let's rehash episode 511, Whatever Happened, Happened. Let me ask you, do you personally believe that whatever happened, happened?
In my own personal estimation, yes. I am a firm believer in the sort of closed-loop time travel storytelling of things like 12 Monkeys and Le Jeté, the idea that whatever happened, happened. So that if, you know, for example, if Saeed shot Ben, he always shot Ben. So if someone sees that photograph of the Dharma inductees, they were always in the Dharma Initiative. They just hadn't experienced it yet. So I think that were I one of the characters in the Miles Hurley conversation in that episode, I was definitely Miles.
You're on the Miles
side. What about you?
I like to think that, you know, free will exists and that maybe it's possible to change the future and that maybe, like Saeed, I believe that it's kind of incumbent on the characters to take some actions to attempt to change the future. So, like, if you have young Ben, you know he's going to grow up to be an evil guy. I say shoot him.
So, basically, I'm like Jack, who basically says, I'm going to wash dishes and make sandwiches for the rest of the season because there's nothing that I can do that is going to change the way things work out, which is sort of a very Lockean principle. But you're like Kate,
yes,
who's basically saying, It is incumbent upon us to save Ben. That is what we must do.
I feel like Kate a lot, actually, today. And
you look like Kate. What makeup are you wearing right now?
Well, right? it's a proprietary product.
Okay.
But I feel like climbing a tree and picking a mango.
Your coloring is very... Is that what... You know, Kate used to do that all the time. Season 1.
That was awesome. She's like the best. I will say this. I do not believe that there's a better actor in television at climbing trees and picking mangoes than Evangeline Lilly.
That is quite a challenge, and I'm sure ABC would be happy to sponsor any challenger.
That's right.
To the Great American Tree Climb Mango Pick-Off, starring Evangeline Lilly.
Just name
next
them.
Fall,
I mean,
on
exactly.
ABC.
Who out there? I
think
see
that,
no one.
I think that mentalist guy could probably shimmy up a tree pretty fast.
No way. No.
All right.
Well. He could think his way up a tree.
That's good. I do feel like, as a segue into the pre-hashing of the following episode, obviously at the end... we haven't seen John Locke or Benjamin, certainly John Locke in about 4 episodes now. We did see Ben a couple episodes ago in Namaste get hit in the head with an oar.
Yeah.
It now feels like we've caught up there. We realize that Lapidus and Sun left on an outrigger for the island. We know they ran into Christian Shepherd there, but Ben is now in the infirmary. Locke is basically sitting by him expectantly, and Ben wakes up and Locke says, "Welcome back to the land of the living." So am I safe in assuming, Carlton, that we will be continuing that story in next week's episode?
You are very safe in assuming that, and I think I would just categorize it in the "it's about time" category. I mean, I personally am anxious to find out what is up with Locke and learn a little bit more about how this dude is alive in the sort of present day island time.
So why is the title of this episode "Dead is Dead"? It feels like this motif of death is sort of resonating throughout "This Place is Death" was one of the episodes. Now
yeah.
We have "Dead is Dead." What's going on?
I think that what's going on is that the island is not quite the happy place that it was back in season 1 when they were just tromping around looking for water and watching blowholes at the ocean. So are we going to learn in Dead is Dead, if Ben killed Penny, are we going to find out what happened there?
Well, if you're watching the ABC promos, I think that seems to be what they're indicating, that we will be picking up that story. I, for one, have been wondering, you know, how Ben got all bloody when he made that phone call to Jack. Obviously, we see him at a marina. We know that Desmond and Penny had a boat, so yeah. I don't know if we're going to get it. I don't know if we're going to get it this week.
It all kind of weaves together, doesn't it?
I don't trust the weave on that bag. Not one bit. But now I think it's time for questions. By the way, for those of you who have tuned in, just to find out what we're going to name the final scene of the finale, stay tuned.
Yeah, we're going to announce the winner of the final scene naming contest, but we're going to do it at the end of questions, because otherwise you might not pay any attention to this podcast.
Yeah. America voted, and all we will say is over 75 million votes. Came in.
It blew away American Idol. It's unbelievable. Yeah. The computers were crashed. Disney's servers all over the world were seized up with votes. But we've managed to tally the results, and we have them for you.
It was close. And we'll give you those results after these questions.
Okay. So, Chris, time for some questions?
Time for questions.
You go first, Carlton.
I'm so excited to go first because I love this question. This is from Dan Ellis in Fort Wayne, Indiana. In the episode, and here's a guy who's paying attention, okay?
Okay, break it down for me, Dan.
In the episode, He's Our Youth, Saeed exits a building in Russia that has a sign on it in Russian, which apparently translates to Oldham Pharmaceuticals. Okay?
Okay, I'm with you.
Now, you think that's enough, but no. This is an anagram for Ralph Macchio Mall's cast.
Wow. I can't believe.
Is this a clue about something apocalyptic that's going to happen at the conclusion of the show? Is the Karate Kid going to come to the island somehow and make our losties regret their transgressions?
I will answer that question in three words, Carlton. Sweep the leg.
Sweep
that is
the leg.
All I will say. It's very, that's an anagram too. So that's all. Wow. I mean, sometimes, you know, we have conversations in the room and say, let's do this. Let's take the phrase Oldham Pharmaceuticals. We'll put it in the Cyrillic alphabet. And then if people can actually unscript, the only way they'd ever know the get ahead of the Macchio gag that we're going to do at the end of the season is to unscramble this. No one will ever catch it. And we'll seem like geniuses for setting it up. And lo and behold, 1 week later, we get caught with our pants down around our ankles.
By Dan Ellis. You rock, Dan.
Congratulations, Dan. The Cobra Kai would be proud of you. Carlton, my first question. So, this is from Sheila in Honolulu.
You're already starting with an attitude.
So, the island's not done with Desmond, and neither are the fans. Where the heck is Desmond? Has anything happened to Penny? Three episodes and counting, no sign of Desmond or Penny. My first thought when I saw Ben beaten up at the marina is that Penny hit him upside the head with a frying pan when he tried to fulfill his threat. What's up? A hint, please. We talked about this a little bit, but Carlton, will we see Desmond again?
Yes.
How many times?
Well,
just once?
I'm just going to say we're going to see him really soon, like maybe in the next episode.
Okay, good.
And that's about as much of a clue as we can give you. And we like the fact that you like Desmond, but there's a lot of other stuff going on in the show right now, which is taking a lot of story time. And we wish we could be using Desmond more than we are, but we're kind of wrapped up in some of the other tales.
I'm a little worried about Desmond. I'm not as worried about Penny for some reason. I don't know. I just don't think you'd have the heart to kill Penny, but I know you would kill Desmond.
No.
If Desmond were to die on the show, it would be your fault.
This is a two-part question, although they're actually two separate questions, really. Hey, Damon and Carlton, love the flashback style coming back in. First here, do you have any advice for a young person who wants to write for a television show like Lost? And Oldham, with his patchwork tent complete with the Jacob lamp, he's our you. Was there a man in his tent? It appeared so.
Let's answer the second part first. There was nobody in the tent with Oldham. And I don't know what a Jacob lamp is. One would assume that, it, like in the story of Aladdin, if you rub the Jacob lamp, Jacob comes out of the lamp and grants you three wishes.
We should sell those.
We should. I'll get right on that. And then the first question, how do you become a television writer? Who knows? Like, the writers on our show actually have vastly different backgrounds, which we love. I think, you know, it makes the show feel a lot more well-rounded than it would if we were all comic book geeks. In terms of, you and I were talking at lunch today about this 10,000-hour rule in this book that we're reading called Outliers, which basically is, you know, you take somebody who is who may or may not have a talent when they're born, but the advantage that they have over everybody else is that they get practice, like how Bill Gates had like 10,000 hours of programming code, or you know, athletes. Michael Jordan had 10,000 hours of shooting hoops. So for us, we watch 10,000 hours of television before we turn like 16 years old.
And also had a penchant for writing. I mean, you know, I think that's the thing. I mean, I think you have to also be writing all the time and get a mastery of that craft as well. And we were, but you know, we've kind of remarked that we thought we were sort of wasting away our youths by watching a lot of television shows, but ultimately it bore some fruit.
Right. So if you're like watching your ninth hour of television in a day and your mom or dad basically says to you, you're wasting your life, you can say,
Listen to the podcast. You can just say, come over here and listen to this podcast.
You can say, Carlton Cuse told me to do this. That's what you say. And his phone number is.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Damien and Carlton. I was just sitting around one day, writes Jordan Friesen from Meade, Kansas. You don't see me messing up your name, Jordan. Bored out of my mind, started thinking about Lost like I usually do, and I remembered the magic box way back in season 3, the man from Tallahassee. Then in the season 4 finale, There's No Place Like Home, parts 2 and 3, Locke asks Ben if the orchid is the magic box, and Ben says it's not. All in capitals, so that's why I'm reading it this way. Are we ever going to learn about the magic box, Carlton? Or is the magic box really just Rice Krispie treats, and all that happens is it goes snap, crackle, pop, and pops out John Locke's dad? Obsessed with the show, love the podcast. What up with the box? Carlton?
Wow. Well, I like the Rice Krispie metaphor. That's pretty good. We have not forgotten about the magic box. Let us just say that.
In fact, you just reminded us.
So exactly.
Let us put that on our list.
Well, that'll be our season 6 checklist.
Put that right next to Where is Claire?
And Palette Drop. And who are those damn skeletons?
Who are the skeletons? What happened to Zach and Emma? And where is Cindy?
And what was the real story of Kate's plane?
Box question mark. Got it. Okay, good.
All right. Thank you. It's on the list. It's on the list for the season.
Next, Carlton.
Okay. Are you ready?
Break it down.
Dear Damon and Carlton, on your Lost podcast from a few weeks back, you mentioned how two shows were switched to tell the story better and that this had only happened once before. Well, the jig is up. I'm almost certain that further instructions in the Glass Ballerina from season 3 were switched. I hope I'm right.
You're wrong. It was way back in season 1. The two episodes were Raised by Another and Solitary. Basically, Saeed's adventures with Rousseau were actually happening simultaneously with the events that were happening back in the camp with Claire. So, and Saeed, the shows were actually re-edited slightly so that Saeed returned at the end of Raised by Another. Those two episodes were written in a different order. My final question,
okay.
Carlton, comes from Stratton, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Thunder Bay, that sounds like...
I'd like to go to Thunder Bay. It just sounds cool.
It sounds like the new area at Disneyland. You know, you're basically like, oh, it's right next to Fantasyland, Thunder Bay.
Yeah.
Carlton, will we ever see the infamous Golden Pontiac again? This is one of those questions where the fan is intuiting that we know what the hell they're talking about.
What is a Golden Pontiac?
Hold on. Okay. If you don't know, about to extrapolate it.
All right.
We first see Michael get hit by a gold Pontiac, then Locke gets hit by the same car, Kate hits it in a cop chase, and then in season 4, Hurley crashes into it in another cop chase. So will we see this car again, and possibly in the finale? I'm starting to think it's Jacob's car, but he's been on the island too long, and now he's a really crappy driver. Thank you, and keep up the good work. Let's answer definitively the mystery of the Golden Pontiac, which we did not even know existed until just about 30 seconds ago.
This is a huge, huge spoiler, but off the island, Jacob can only take the form of a car. So
the car is Jacob
off the island.
Oh, good God. I never imagined.
All right, one last one for you. Hello, Banjo Man and Pantsless Guy. That would be a great crime-finding duo, by the way. I really liked the new episode, especially the scenes with Hurley and Miles. Were those written as answers to fan questions on message boards, or were you guys going to do a scene like that anyway? Ivan from Bratislava, Slovakia, would like to know.
All right, Ivan. Well, here's one of the things. Carlton and I probably more than anything else get asked two questions. The first question is, do you make up the show as you go along, or how planned out is the show? And then the second question is, how much input do the fans have in the writing of the show? And so this, your question is sort of a variant on question two. We wrote this script, What Happened Happened, before the season premiere even aired.
Right.
So, but we were anticipating that the audience would have lots of questions about how time travel worked. So one of the things that we do in the writer's room is we write the episodes, but then we watch the episodes once they're done. And we start to talk about it like maybe, okay, I'm the audience now, not the writer. As I'm processing this stuff, I'm a little confused. So maybe we should write into the show this exact conversation we're having now. So sometimes we're good at anticipating what the audience wants. Like Nikki and Paolo were already on their way to getting buried alive before the audience even saw them on the show. And sometimes we're not as good at it. But in this case, I think the Miles and Hurley scene came exactly at the right time because we, the writers, were basically saying the audience really needs this conversation at this point in the show and we should coincide it. And Hurley should be the one who's asking the questions because he's always the audience proxy. You know, he's on your side. He's speaking for you. So in this case, it was really reassuring to see those things start to pop up on the board and go, thank God we wrote that scene sooner rather than later.
Right. Very well spoken.
Thanks.
I have nothing to add to that.
Wonderful.
All right. Thanks.
Wait a minute, Carlton.
Oh, wait.
Hold your horses.
Oh, my gosh. We almost ducked out here, didn't we?
There's one more thing we have to do.
Okay, Damon, I'm going to set it up for you, and then you're going to tell the audience what this is. Okay, so here we go. We are now going to announce the name for the secret final scene of Lost Season 5.
Again, over 750 million votes worldwide came in to Chris, flooding his email box. It's unbelievable.
He's personally tabulated 750 million.
Carlton, and will you reveal the second runner-up, the number three top vote-getter?
I will read the number three vote-getter was The Hooded Leprechaun.
The Hooded Leprechaun.
Wow.
I will not lie to you. I did vote for The Hooded Leprechaun.
Damon voted 340 million times for The Hooded Leprechaun. However, it was not enough.
It didn't win, but maybe next year.
All right.
Carlton, the runner-up, the number two vote-getter.
The number two vote-getter was The Fifth Toe.
The Fifth Toe. Wow, I really thought, I got to be honest with you, this is a shocker. This is sort of like when Archuleta kind of, you know, was the runner-up last year. You go like, oh my God, like The Fifth Toe didn't win. It seemed like such an obvious.
We were pretty convinced that that was going to be the winner.
Yes, but it isn't.
It isn't,
which means
Damon.
That anybody could be the winner.
Anybody could be the winner. So Damon.
Is it Jack Gets Pregnant?
No.
It's
that
not.
That got out of 750 guessing. Million votes, that got one vote.
Wow. So that was you.
that was me too.
Right.
All right. So Damon, please tell the audience what the name of the final mysterious scene for season 5 of Lost will be.
I will tell you, but I will first preface it by saying, kids at home, do not attempt to do this. This is not something you should ever attempt to do under any... We are not condoning this behavior. However, the final scene of the Lost Season 5 finale, which is very secretive and only known to the actors who appeared in the scene, will henceforth be known as the fork in the outlet.
Thank you to Spindrift Beck from Dallas, Texas.
Wow, what a name.
Do you think that's really his name, Spindrift? Like, do you think he gets called Spin or Drifty? What do you think it is?
I just think he gets called Beck.
Wow.
That's what
Beck.
I would call him.
Yeah, but I just call him Beck. Yeah,
congratulations, you win absolutely nothing.
Other than our approbation.
I don't know what that word means. Is that sort of like a, is that like a plaudit?
It's like probation, only you don't have to actually go see a parole officer.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. Final scene, fork in the outlet.
Thank you all. Okay, now we're out of here, right?
Yep. Godspeed.
Okay. Bye.
Peace.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us for the podcast. Dead is Dead airs Wednesday, April 8th from 9 till 10:02 p.m. on ABC. Don't forget, you can submit your fan questions at blogs.abc.com/asklost.